clap for Jesus. Why not do it? Amen. Glory, honor, power, majesty
be unto God. Amen.
Glory, honor, your faithfulness and your mercies. Thank you for your love, O God. Father, at this moment, as we look into your word, we pray that your word will find expression in our lives. Father, that you speak to our hearts this morning, O God, and grant that every one of us, O God, Father, will be a worthy steward in your hand. Take all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Can I hear the church say a big amen? Please, before we take our seat, let's take this Bible reading together. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 and 24. One to go, let's read it. Verse 24. The Lord bless his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Greet one or two persons by your side. Tell them you're welcome to church. I'm happy to see you. Tell the person next Sunday is Men's Day. Please invite your man. Praise God. When I say invite your man, some people, their hands went like this. Everybody has a man in his or her life. Everybody. Even a man has a man. Praise God. So, men, invite your friends. The program is for men and the women that love them. Yes. It's for men and the women that love them. So, please invite somebody to join us on Saturday by 4 p.m. We are inviting a guest, as you can see from the flyer. Our guest cannot come and meet an empty house. So men, we have said that every man should come with, where is the secretary? We said every man should come with how many men? At least one man. I will be at the door. If you did not come with your man, you go and bring him. Praise God. If you are happy to be in church, say amen. I said something one day during our midweek service. I think it's important I say it again during service. That sometimes when we ask us to pray and we give some prayer points, it's important we do what? We pray. And sometimes when the word is specific for a person, it's important you take it serious. We thank God for the deliverance of your husband. But I know as you went home, you did not pray. As you were giving the testimony, I had it right inside of me that you did not pray after we finished praying in the office. So, next time, when you're giving a specific word, it's good you pray seriously about it. Pray seriously. Some of us are not called prophets, but by privilege, sometimes God drops something in our spirit specifically. I don't know whether it's called word of knowledge. Those that are theologians will know whether it's word of knowledge or word of wisdom. But what I know is that sometimes, in the place of prayer, God drops things in our hearts. Sometimes they are general, sometimes they are specific. And if it is specific, you've got to take it serious. You've got to take it serious. God will not allow us to fall a victim of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we are going to continue with our discourse on kingdom stewardship. And I want to build from one of the studies we had in one of our midweek services. And we discuss on the demands for a good, or rather the demand for good stewardship. The demands for good stewardship. The demands for good stewardship. And we looked at two demands already. The first demand we look at is that a good steward must be faithful. A good steward must be faithful. Everybody say, a good steward must be faithful. For those joining us for the first time, we have our website. I think they'll give that to you after the service. They'll put it up so that you see it. You can go there, you can build from there and get to where we are right now. All the messages are there. So, a good steward must be faithful. We have already established the fact that a steward is a servant. A steward is an administrator. A steward is a manager. A steward is one that God has called to take care of his resources. And we have also established that God is the owner of all things, both in heaven and on earth. So whatever you are doing, whatever you are belongs to God. God is the owner of all. For those that were in our staff fellowship on Wednesday, we talked about stewardship of the temple. That even your body belongs to God. And you have to steward your body in such a way that it will bring glory to God. We define stewardship as managing God's resources, God's way for God's glory. And so we move on to look at demands for kingdom stewardship. And the first demand we established was that a good steward must be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. We have to be fast. Alright, say, let a man so account us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Every child of God is a steward of the mysteries of God. He said, moreover, it is required in steward. Let's say it together. That a man be found what? Say it like you mean it. Like the man be found. It's required in steward that a man be found faithful. And we establish that there are three words that make up the word faithful. Number one, to be faithful means to be reliable. To be reliable. Two, to be faithful means to be trustworthy. To be trustworthy. As a steward in the house of God, as a steward in your place of work, as a husband, as a wife, how reliable are you? Because as a father, you are a steward to your family. As a wife, you are a steward. As children, we are stewards. Every one of us, in one way or the other, God has committed something into our hands. And because of that, we are all stewards of those things. We are serving God through what he has committed into our hands. And God wants us to be found reliable and trustworthy in that which he has committed into our hands. We'll not go back to say much on that. If you want the full message on that, please check our website. You will see it there. And the third thing I want to add is that any steward or a man or a brother or a sister who is faithful is somebody who is not just trustworthy and reliable, but somebody who is always available. Somebody say available. Say it like you mean it. Say available. Availability is key to faithfulness. There are people that when you give them assignment, they disappear. And let me say this, it's important. You can be present, yet not available. You can be present, yet not what? Available. Availability means you are present and you are willing to carry out the task. There are a lot of people in church and yet they'll be looking for somebody that will carry out a simple task. And say, who do we give it? Are people not present? They are present, but they are not what? They are not available. Availability goes beyond being willing. It also means you have the capacity to carry out that task. So one who is available is one that is willing and capable to execute that assignment. And a
faithful steward is always available for the master.
Oh, we're praying. Our sister led us to pray in that Proverbs. He said, take away the dross,
and the silver shall be ready for the silversmith or something. I'm just paraphrasing. A faithful steward is one that has prepared himself ready to be used of the master. I am available. Whenever you need me, Lord, I am available. Whenever you call, Lord, I am available.
Just imagine that, okay, we are all, majority of us work here in this center. And suddenly they just go to Dr. John and said, please, there's a patient in the ward. Can you just come and say a prayer? And then you start confessing sin. Guilt start attacking your heart. You start saying, Kai, I'm not even prepared. You are present, but not what? You're not available to be used of God.
And we said the second demand for kingdom stewardship is wisdom. Wisdom. A good steward must be wise. A good steward must be wise. He must be full of wisdom. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, where we read. He said, who then is a faithful and wise servant? A faithful and wise servant. Kingdom stewardship is not just about faithfulness, it's about walking with wisdom.
I pray that the Lord will fill you with his wisdom.
Wisdom is the ability to discern what matters most to the master. Ability to know what the master needs, what he wants at the right time. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. Wisdom makes the work of the steward easy and successful. Ecclesiastes 10:10. It makes the work of the steward easy and successful. As a servant, as a steward, if you want to be successful, fruitful, prosperous in that which God has called you to steward, then wisdom is key.
KJV, please.
If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength but wisdom.
Everybody say, but wisdom.
Say it like you mean it. Say, but wisdom. But wisdom is profitable to direct.
Imagine a man carrying a blunt knife to cut down an iroko tree. You will cut until the whole of your hands will peel and you will bleed and the tree will keep standing.
But wisdom will tell you that an iroko tree, you don't need a kitchen knife to cut it down. You use the right equipment, the right instrument for that.
1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32, the Bible talked about the children of Issachar.
The Bible said they have the understanding of the time. Wisdom will help you to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and why you must do it. That is wisdom. It will help you to know what to do. Wisdom will help you to know how to do it. Not just that, when to do it and why you must do it. You know why a lot of people come to church and play church, and even when you talk to them and you try to encourage them to be serious, they are not, because they have not seen the reason why they should. Why are we even in church? Why are they even bothering us with this program? Why the Wednesday meetings? Why are they saying we should pray? Why study? Why? Why are they putting pressure on us and encouraging us and saying we must read the Bible?
Wisdom answers that question.
Steward must know that you're answerable to a master, and the word of God is the manual, the guideline the master has given to you, so that you can read through it and be able to steward that which he has committed into your hands. I said in one of our services that if you must be a good steward, you must not forsake the guidelines of the master. You must follow it dutifully. We will not fail in our duty. I say you will not fail in Jesus' name. And this morning, I just want to add two more before we pray. The third demand or requirement for kingdom stewardship is diligence. A steward must be diligent. A kingdom steward must be diligent. Must be diligent. What is diligence? A dictionary defines diligence as the careful, persistent, and dedicated effort towards achieving a task. Careful, persistent, dedicated effort towards achieving a task. That is diligence. In one word, diligence can be seen as hard work. Hard work. Labor. Friends, if you must fulfill your destiny, and if you must fulfill what God has planted or given to you to steward, then you must be a hard worker. You must be a laborer. You must be diligent.
You're hearing me say amen.
You have to be diligent. The other day I was talking to the women during their program, and I said, listen, being a wife is hard work. Maintaining a home is hard work. Raising your children is hard work. It's hard work. If you must be a father that your children will be proud of, a father that will steward his children according to scripture in the way that will bring glory to God, then it's hard work. It's hard work. As a minister, as a worker in church, you must understand that the assignment that God has given to you is not a joke. It's hard work. A lot of us put so much effort in our secular jobs, but when we come to church assignment, we take it with kids' glove. We just joke about it. A steward must be diligent. There are three marks of a diligent steward. Three marks. One, to be diligent means you have to be prompt with obedience. A diligent steward is prompt with response to instruction. Prompt with response to instruction. Prompt with obedience. That is a diligent steward. Matthew 25 verse 16, please. Matthew 25, 16. Say, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Give us NIV this time. Then the man who had received the 5 talents went at once. He didn't waste time. How did he go? Come on, church, talk to me. How did he go? At once. He went at once. There are a lot of people in church that when you give them little assignment, they will debate from now till Jesus come before they will do it. That's if at all they will do it. You see, he went at once. At once. That's a diligent steward. Prompt in responding to instruction, in responding to assignment, in responding to the word of God. That's a diligent steward. You just came to church and you heard that go home and forgive. They even prayed for you and lay hands on you. And then you went home. Instead of acting on that, you wait. You say, I will do it tomorrow. I will do it next tomorrow. The longer you delay to obey, the cooler your heart becomes. As the word comes and the word is prompting your spirit. as the word comes and the fire is burning in your heart, that is when you've got to act. You don't beat an iron while it is what? Cold. You beat it when it is what? Red hot. Be prompt in responding to the word of God. In John chapter 2, Mary told the disciple, he said, whatsoever he tells you, do it. And Jesus said, fill these jars with water. They did not argue. They filled the jars with water. He said, draw from there. They would have argued and said, ah, master, but we just fill it with water. You are telling us to draw and go. The man did not ask for water, but they just obeyed. A steward will obey whether it is comfortable or not comfortable. A steward obeys whether the instruction are right or wrong. Just obey. Tell somebody, just obey. Tell another person, just obey. Some of us have become too religion. That following is a problem. Following is difficult. So difficult. Because you feel the person even giving you the instruction, you know the scripture more than the fellow. Is it because the fellow is the head of the unit? But a steward is a follower. A steward is a servant. You obey. There's something about leadership. Whether the person leading you is right or wrong, first of all, do what? Obey. And prove to him that what he's doing is actually what? Wrong. Be prompt with obedience. The second mark of a diligent steward is zeal. A diligent steward is zealous. Is zealous. To be zealous means to be enthusiastic about what God has given to you. To be eager and willing to carry out the assignment. That's what it means to be zealous. Zealous for the things of God. Eagerness to act. Eagerness to work for God. Eagerness to serve. Eagerness to read your Bible. Eagerness to be at the place of prayer. You are zealous for the house of God. Eagerness to see that things in the house of God are properly done. That is a zealous man. If you are not angry with me, say amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 25 verse 11. The Bible spoke about a man called Phinehas. Phinehas. Phinehas was the son, the grandson of Aaron, the priest. Something happened in Shittim. When the Israelites came there, they started, the Bible said they went at war dome, if you give us verse 1. And they started prostituting with the Moabites and all of those that were there. And God's anger came upon them. And the Bible said there was this young man that went and brought a Moabite woman and passed before Moses and Aaron and all the elders and went inside to sleep with her. And then Phinehas was zealous for God. The Bible said he took his spear and killed both the man and the woman. And the Bible said he stayed the anger of God. And in his zeal, he saved the children of Israel. But even before that action, about 20-something thousand of them has been killed. Oh, I am not a leader. Make them do their things. And them be leaders. No. And things are going bad. You cannot stand up. You are not standing in arrogance. You are not standing in pride. But you can stand up in the place of prayer. You can stand up and meet one of the leaders and say, these things are not being right. Can we put things right, sir? Zeal for God. Zeal for God. What about you that they have just given you a little assignment in that office? You have abandoned the assignment. You have abandoned the assignment. And every time before you show up, they must call you on phone and beg you to come. That's when you will show up. Where is your zeal? Where? There are some people seated down here. They are members of TCRC, but they have never for once attended the Monday fellowship, Monday prayer meeting. Talk less of Wednesday meetings. Not because they are busy, but because that one is not important. I just want to identify on Sunday. You know, on Sunday, when you no go church, then go think say you'll be... If you are with me, say amen. In Psalm 69, verse 9, the psalmist says, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." Psalm 69, verse 9. In Psalm 119, verse 139, the Bible says, "My zeal has consumed me." My zeal has consumed me. Psalm 119, verse 139. Psalm, now where is your zeal for God? Have you grown so cold that the things of God look so docile to you? Have you grown so cold that when they talk about prayer, prayer has become something like prayer? How can I pray for 5 minutes? Oh, they say we should wake up and pray. Abba. Have you grown so cold that Bible study has become a problem? Say, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. And if you read the book of John chapter 2, verse 13 to 17, the Bible speaking about Jesus, that when he entered into Jerusalem, he went into the temple and saw money changers. People were doing merchandise of the house of God. And the Bible said that he picked up a whip and flogged them and turned off their table. And then it was recalled in verse 13 that it is written concerning him. So where we read is a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled. And his disciple remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thy house has eaten me up." How zealous are you for the things of God? It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to come sit down every day. A lot of us have been here for donkeys of years, and yet we don't belong to any department. We are not useful. We just come and sit and receive. We are just like what they call the what's the name of that lake again? Dead Sea. That everything that enters there doesn't go out. So you are just receiving. January you receive. Wait till they start January. Fasting and prayer. Anointing, you receive. Midweek, you receive. Revival reach, you receive. That is why you are having protruded stomach. You have over received. It's time to let go. Release some things. Any man that is eating and is not going to toilet, it's not a good thing. It's not good. We are still together. Say amen. Amen. The seal of the Lord. What are you zealous for? Oh, you need to see people who are fans, zealous about football. Pele. Zealous. I remember those days. Oh, we want to go and watch football. We'll start preparing on time before the time of the match. I want to be there first so that we'll see all the pre-match analysis. Thank you, sir. I want to see how they are jogging into the field. What would that one add to me, Isaac? I don't know. But I enjoy it. Sometimes I will even borrow money from my wife to go and watch the match. I dealt with the woman until she has to even put alarm to be telling me, "Hey, is your time for match?" To help me. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. And sometimes when you go and watch and you come back and your team lose, even to eat food now problem. Which kind of wahala be this? To eat food. Everybody in the house will know that. Let me not call my team before you will laugh. They will know that they have lost. Even my children will know that they have lost. My second son is a very funny guy. He will just come close. "Daddy, sorry, I'm not going to win another one." But you see, men can be so zealous for things that do not have eternal value. The question is, if you ask me now, why am I zealously watching that thing? I don't have an answer. Nothing. I don't do football betting. I say, okay, maybe because of the betting, that is what is driving me. I don't. So what is really driving me? Because I don't put my mind there. In whatsoever you do for the Lord, the Bible says, do it with the whole of your heart. Do it heartily. Don't serve God haphazardly. Do it heartily with all of your heart. Fans watch football with all of their heart. I woke up this morning as I put on my television before we came to church. They were playing Australia versus Turkey. And then I saw one lady after they scored Turkey the second goal, she was crying. I said, see passion. Passionately watching her country. And Sama, if fans can have that, what about you who is a disciple? Jesus turned to them one day after he has preached a hard sermon and asked them, will you also go away? All the fans left. But disciples stayed. But today, even disciples are the ones that are leaving first. The so-called disciples. Or maybe we are all fans. I want to finish what I have today, so let me pause. Number three, the third mark of a diligent steward is that a diligent steward must be industrious. Industrious. To be industrious is to be a skillful worker. See thou a man skillful in his business. He shall not stand before ordinary people. He will stand before great men. Proverbs 22:29. A man skillful in his business. A man diligent. See thou a man who is industrious. Sir, man, if they give you that unit, you must pray to God to help you to be so industrious that in just a month, a week, 2 months, you will transform that department, that unit, that people will say, wow, wow, wow. God help us in Jesus' name. To the glory of God, I don't want to take any credit. Once I was posted, my wife is here as a witness, to a church in Redeem that died. They planted the church, it died. After 7 years, they posted me there to go and start the same place. And in just 9 months, in Redeem, they have what we call church growth officers. They go around the nation checking their different prices. When they came there in 9 months, they could not recognize that place. And they have just given you a small unit. Just take care of them. When you inherited that unit, there were 5 members. Since you became their leader, now 2 of them remain. You and your best friend. Everybody don't go. And there are those that when they inherit 3 people, they will so manage the 3 people, they will not add. At least those on them try. But even that one too, not problem. Because the master desires that you grow. The guy that they gave 1 coin, alright, that went and managed the 1 coin, he didn't add anything. It's like a pastor, a unit leader, a departmental head that you give them, you hand over a few people to them. They manage it until their tenure finishes. And then at the end, they will be so satisfied. At least I tried, did not miss anyone. Not lie. You are just like that steward that was given it 1 cupboard and he went and hid it. When he come, he no come out the cupboard. And he was applauded, but because he no misplaced him, at least he no misplaced him. May God give us understanding. Please give us, let me show us a scripture. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 28. I read this scripture. This scripture broke my heart. It broke my heart. I will tell us a few things about it. He said, now Jeroboam was a man of God. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious. Everybody say industrious. Say it like you mean it, industrious. He made him ruler over all the church of the house of Joseph. He saw him that he was industrious. He raised him up and made him a ruler One of the chiefs over the house of Joseph. But look at me, look at me. I want to tell you something. This guy was not from a royal family. This guy was not from the lineage of kings. If you go read the whole of this chapter. But this guy, because of his industry, how industrious he was, how hardworking he was, the Lord told his prophet to go and meet this guy and tell him that, look, I am going to rent a kingdom and I'm going to give you 10 parts of the kingdom and I will just leave the tribe of Judah for David because of the sins of Solomon. Sama. Why? Because God saw in him that he was industrious. 10 tribes. He took them from Solomon and gave to this young man because he was industrious. There are people that sit down and say, hey, grace will bring everything. Hear me, church. Grace is not a license for laziness. Prayer is not a license for laziness. Fasting is not a license for laziness. Yes, God will give you the grace, but you've got to work. You've got to work. If you are not angry, say amen. Amen. Say it like you mean it. Say amen. Amen. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. He said, I labor more than them all. Yet not I, but the grace. The grace of God is an empowerment to labor. Show me a man that is engraced by God, and I will show you a tireless worker for God. You say, oh, he's succeeding because the grace of God is speaking for him. No, it's not just grace. The grace is making him to labor. You labor. I told us the other day that prayer is hard work. Studying the word of God is hard work. You must labor as a pastor in the place of prayer, as a leader, as a council member, as a head of that unit, as a head of that department. You must labor in the place of prayer. You must labor in the place of the word. That as I come out as the choir leader and I stand and I begin to just talk to the people, and the power of God will just come upon all the choir members. And before you know, instead of having a rehearsal, we're having a revival meeting. It does not come cheaply. You see, we see these things on TV. We admire them. We admire pastors that are doing these things. We admire those that are doing it. We wish for them. But Sama, and sometimes we make statements that God has blessed them. God has engraced them. It is the gift of God. I agree with you. It is the gift of God. But every gifted person, every talented person, everybody who knows very well that is gifted will know that a lot of gifts have died in the place of slothfulness. It's not every talented person that is successful. A talented person who is lazy will die with his talents. And nobody will hear him. If you are still in church, say amen. Amen. Finally, the fourth demand for kingdom stewardship is accountability. Accountability. A steward must be accountable. Give us Luke chapter 16 verse 1 and 2. A steward must be accountable. What is accountability? Accountability is an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility and to answer for one's actions and decisions. I take it again. Accountability is an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility and to answer for one's actions or decisions, whether good or bad. That's accountability. A willingness to accept responsibility. A willingness to answer for your actions. To answer for your decisions. We have a lot of people in church who are very, 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 I am very sorry, very, very irresponsible. But maybe we don't have any in TCRC. But I've seen believers who are so irresponsible. So irresponsible. There's nothing you put in their hand that thrives. I've seen somebody that comes say, Pastor, hey, things are very difficult with me. Say, okay, what can you do? Hey, this is what I can do. Okay, how much can we raise for you? If you give me this little money like this, I will be able to start the business. And I will rally down, call church members and say, please, can we help this person to start a business? You give him the money. Go in the next 3 weeks, sir. The person has gone back to square one. That is when you will know that the money is good to buy cow meat. But more food suddenly changed for the money they gave you to start a business. That is irresponsibility. If you want to say amen. Amen. And he said also unto his disciple, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Every steward must have this at the back of your mind, that you can be sacked. You can be removed. You can be removed. As we wrap up this morning, there are three pillars of accountability. Number one, the first pillar of accountability is what I've just mentioned. Responsibility. An accountable husband who is a responsible husband. An accountable wife is a responsible wife. Responsible church members. Responsible choristers. Responsible ushers. What is responsibility? To accept the acceptance and ownership of a duty. The acceptance and ownership of a duty. That's what it means to be responsible. If I am a husband, I should accept my responsibility as the head of my home. Being a head is not being a man. Being a head is responsibility. Tell somebody by your side, being a head is responsibility. That you are born a male, it's not what makes you head. Headship is responsibility. And the day you fail in your responsibility, you are no longer the head. You are just an empty head making noise. I'm not talking to just men. What about women? How responsible are you as a wife? How responsible are you as a wife? We don't have time again. The second pillar of accountability is answerability. Answerability. To answer. The obligation to explain, justify, and report on your actions and decisions. There are people, Sama. I know them. Some are my friends, some are my siblings. Just give them a task to do, especially if it has to do with money. Tell them, come and tell me how you spend that money. Instead of them to come and explain, they will flare up. Have you not seen people like that, Daddy? They will just flare up. What's that supposed to mean? Are you saying I didn't use it well? But you saw what you asked me to do, I have done it. I am not saying you didn't do what I asked you to do. I am only saying, come and justify it. Give us report. What did you do with the money that I gave to you? Answerability. You are saying to carry out a tax, and your leader comes, okay, can you come and tell us how you carried out the tax? Say, I beg. I know they for that kind of thing. Which one be that one? Come and explain what. You saw that I did it. Anyhow, do them. The important thing is that I have done it. No, that's not the important thing. That's not the important thing. Romans chapter 14 verse 12. We'll read it together. Romans 14, 12. Church, let's read it. Thank God it's very short. One, two, go. You will not give account of me. I will not give account of you. You will give account of yourself. The third pillar of accountability is consequence. Consequence. What is consequence? It's an understanding that action brings consequences, whether good or bad. Actions bring outcome. That's consequence. For every action, there is an outcome. And you know what? You don't have the ability to determine the outcome. That is why you must be careful about the action. Action brings consequences. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, chapter 11, verse 9. We wrap up with that. Give us that in NLT, please. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. Remember that all your actions have consequences. A steward must have that at the back of his or her mind. Bow down your heads as we pray. Choir, help me. Let's sing this song together. I love you, Lord. And your mercies never fail. Rishagalabadadash.
Held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Just a minute. Hear me, church. It's the mercy of God that is keeping us. And this message is coming to you this morning because of his goodness. The Lord wants you to take the right path, the right decision. Make the right decision this morning. The Lord wants you to make the right move this morning as a steward. And I want to challenge you. If this word has said anything, God has said anything through this word to you as an individual, please settle it with God in the next 2 minutes. And even after you leave here this morning, please, let's take that song one more time. Please bow down your head wherever you are. You are not yet a steward of Christ if you have not surrendered your life to him. I want to give you the privilege this morning to do that. You're here, you have not yielded to him. You have not surrendered your life to him. You can just tell him, Lord, I surrender to you. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Please come in, Lord. As we take that song, make your ways right with God. Please go ahead, choir.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held.